Garden State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Melissa Benmark, sitting in today for Mark Bayshore. He's the other MB. Actually, I guess I'm the other MB sitting in his seat. Well, we got a great show for you today, as always. And starting out in a fairly solemn place, actually, the recent spate of well-publicized violent episodes involving well-known football players has brought the subject of domestic abuse back into the spotlight once again. It's a problem that's never that far from home, though. And for every high-profile case, there are countless incidents among our own friends and relatives and colleagues. As much as media attention is focused now on what can be done to prevent abuse, there is and still will be a need for places that the victims can go to be safe and try to break the cycle of abuse. To talk about these issues now is the head of Michigan State University's Safe Place, Holly Rosen, talking about domestic violence today. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Melissa. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us about the history of MSU Safe Place.
Well, about 20 years ago, the first lady of MSU, Joanne McPherson, decided that she wanted to do something and contribute to the university. And she asked the MSU police and others about what the needs are for students on campus and found that the domestic violence program in Lansing was often full and was not accessible to students. And so she pulled together community resources, and within a very short amount of time, we created MSU Safe Place on campus.
I understand that this is the only domestic violence shelter on a college campus in the country. Is that the case?
Yes. We are the only domestic violence shelter in the country on a college campus. There are some universities that set aside one or two rooms for these kinds of things, but even 20 years later, we're still the only university that's committed enough to have a shelter on its college campus.
Do you think that people have the impression that domestic violence doesn't happen on college campuses somehow?
Yeah, there's a lot of myths. And one of them is that domestic violence does not happen to educated people, and we know that that's not true. Students, staff, and faculty and guests here in MSU experience domestic violence and stalking just like any other community.
Why do you think there aren't more shelters like this around the nation?
Well, when MSU Safe Place first opened its doors in June of 1994, it was around the same time that Nicole Brown Simpson had been murdered, and there was a lot of associated press around the issue of domestic violence 20 years ago, including attention to Michigan State University, and a lot of universities requested information from MSU about how they got it started, and we found that the reasons that universities didn't get it started was related to what you mentioned, which was the reputation issue about it doesn't happen to educated people, but it's also liability concerns and economics.
What makes being on campus important for MSU Safe Place?
Well, there's a lot of, for students and staff and faculty that are needing to get to class at a certain time and access services here on campus, having a program that's right here in our community has really been helpful. We've been able to help students contact their professors and deal with declining GPAs and other issues that are related, because when students that are dealing with being stalked or domestic violence, it does affect their ability to succeed in school.
Sure. Well, break down for us who uses MSU Safe House. What's the reality there?
Well, we serve the community as well as the MSU student, staff, faculty, and their partners. And so in terms of shelter, I would say that most of the MSU community using it is staff or students or partners of that group. Faculty usually access our advocacy services but don't necessarily stay in the shelter. And then we serve a lot of people in the community who are not MSU affiliated if our shelter has room.
Is the shelter full right now?
Yes, we're very full right now. And unfortunately, that's not just MSU Safe Place. A lot of the shelters in the immediate area as well as in the whole state right now, homeless and domestic violence shelters are really full right now.
Is that always the case, or is this an uptick?
This is unusual. We do go through trends, but this one has been lasting for quite a while now.
How long do you, just right offhand?
Oh, months. I would say months. I mean, we've had people calling for shelter and saying the shelters are full for quite a while. And I'm on a statewide listserv, and it's actually been going on around the state, too.
Wow, that's interesting. So what kind of services do you offer at the Safe Place?
We have, of course, emergency shelter is the thing that most people are aware of. And then we also offer advocacy services, and that's probably the most used service. And that's helping survivors get a personal statement written if they want a personal protection order, going to court, getting a job, child care, transportation, whatever it is that they need to get out of an abusive relationship. We also provide counseling and support group for survivors and childcare and transportation and whatever services people need.
It's Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Melissa Benmark, and I'm talking to Holly Rosen, who's the director of MSU Safe Place. How big of an operation are you? How many people do you employ?
We have three full-time staff, myself and then two advocates, and then we take in a lot of interns from Michigan State University and volunteers from the community, and they help staff the program as well.
And where do you get funding from? What keeps you going financially?
Well, we are an MSU service, and so the university is very generous in its support in terms of providing offices, shelter space, and some staffing costs. We do write a lot of grants to get extra money for advocacy assistance, to pay for food in the shelter and staffing costs, program costs.
So what are some of the misconceptions about domestic violence? What do you hear people saying again and again that just to you is such so inaccurate and wrong?
Well, one misconception is that it's easy to leave. A lot of people are like, you know, with the Janae Ray Rice case, why doesn't she just leave? It's complicated. And so people don't understand how complex it is if you're a victim of domestic violence, how there's good and bad in the relationship, and there's a lot of safety risks and that kind of thing. So that's one of the main misconceptions, is it's easy to leave.
One of the things that I wonder, too, is that it's hard. Domestic violence, physical, does not happen generally without domestic violence, mental, as in manipulation, controlling, that kind of thing. And I wonder if people have a hard time putting themselves inside what it's like to be controlled mentally in that way. Anybody can kind of think about what it would be like to be punched, but the subtlety of a mental manipulator is pretty striking. Do you think, isn't any way to get people to see that, or is there? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for people to understand, but we're not just talking about mind control. We're talking about people who are very, very charming and can be very loving and fun and boost you up and try to make you feel really good in the early stages of the relationship. And then over time, isolating you from family and friends, criticizing you, putting you down, and then boosting you up. It goes back and forth and back and forth. And then the control, lots of rule setting, rules like do not betray me, do not leave me, do not disagree with me, you know, follow my rules, that kind of thing. But that's combined with lots of love, too, and then some physical assaults. And so it's a whole package of different tactics that people use. And I think unless you work with domestic violence or experience it, it is really difficult for the general public to understand.
Talk a little bit about the personal protection order, because I find myself frustrated in reading about half of these stories of someone who is killed by a spouse, that a lot of times they did have a personal protection order. What do you think are the holes? Why is this not working, or is it working more than we think it is, and we just read about the high-profile cases?
Well, people typically get a personal protection order at the time that they're leaving an abusive relationship. It offers them protection. But the reality is the most dangerous time for a survivor of domestic violence is when they leave. That's when the violence and threats escalate, and that's when we hear about the domestic violence homicides. And the reality is a personal protection order, or PPO, is a piece of paper signed by a judge that's enforced by the courts and law enforcement. But there are no security or guarantees with that. But it does give the police more leverage to be able to make arrests, and the courts more backing to hold someone who's violent accountable.
Some more misconceptions maybe that people have tied to domestic violence?
Another one that we hear at MSU, but everywhere really, is that alcohol and other drugs cause violence. A lot of people, the general public, as well as victims and even batterers, are convinced that it's alcohol or other drugs that cause them to become violent. And this is reinforced by the fact that a lot of abusers will drink heavily before they become physically abusive. But it is a myth, because alcohol does not cause nonviolent people to be violent, disrespectful, or threaten their partner.
That's interesting. You're listening to Current State on 90.5 WKAR, and we're talking to Holly Rosen. She's the director of MSU Safe Place. So as you watch the situation unfold with the NFL, what do you see? Good, bad, otherwise?
Well, I think that the one good thing that has come out of the assault on Jay Rice by Ray Rice is Janae Rice, is that there was social media that caught it. There was the public cameras that caught something that most people don't see. I've been working with domestic violence for 30 years, and I've heard horrific stories. Violence, just incredible violence. Being punched in the face and knocked out is not unlike, you know, it's pretty common if it's an abusive relationship. And yet, the general public is shocked to hear that or see that on video. And I think the good news about it is it's brought attention to people how severe the violence can be.
One of the things, though, I think that makes this a little cloudier, too, is that apparently Jhené Rice also was hitting back. There was some mutual battering going on. Help people understand that phenomenon, if you could.
Well, use of violence by a victim is not uncommon, but the idea of mutual battering is a myth, because in terms of defining battering as where one person has power and control over another, that can't be mutual. So if you have someone who's abusing somebody and threatening them and is assaulting them, and then the victim fights back or even initiates a fight physically, that doesn't equalize the power, and they're still a victim. It's hard for people to understand that. And law enforcement are trained on how to identify the predominant aggressor because you can't just look at the behavior. You have to look at the context.
But they are going to get it wrong sometimes, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. So if I'm a victim and I'm trying to flee an assailant who is trapping me in a room, I might assault them to escape the room. And if you just look at the violence that I just hit them in the face or stabbed them with something, you might assume that I'm the perpetrator or that I'm a batterer, when in fact I might be the victim. And so you have to look at the context of that.
It sounds, though, like law enforcement is doing a better job. Do you feel, in the time that you've been doing your job, do you feel that there's better understanding in the law enforcement community?
Absolutely. In 30 years, they've come a long way. There's still a lot of changes that we need in the laws and in training of everybody to really get a better understanding of this, but things are much better than they were 10, 20, 30 years ago.
We, of course, have heard lots of people calling for the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to step down. And he clearly has no intention of doing this, at least right now. There are going to be some new conduct standards that were announced rather hurriedly on Friday. What's your take on how the NFL is handling this?
Well, I think they're reflective of kind of our society and overall, that people are confused on, how do we deal with all of these issues when people are violent with members of their family? Is it an employer issue or not? And that kind of thing. I mean, these are people who are breaking the law and causing violence, and so we need to look at that. I think that the NFL is just really struggling on how to handle this, you know, and I think that it's good that they're struggling. They need to struggle, and whether Roger Goodell steps down or not, if they create new policies for the future for the NFL players and create a culture that does not condone violence off the field, I think it's good.
So MSU Safe Place celebrating its 20th anniversary of being on campus this year. Do you have anything in particular planned?
Yes, we have a celebration on October 15th in the evening at the Kellogg Center. And you can go to the Safe Place Facebook page if you want to find out about how to RSVP for that. But we're celebrating 20 years, and it's gone by very quickly. I've been here from the beginning, and we're very proud of our program.
I think I might have time for one more quick question. How do you personally find the strength to do this every day? I admire that, and I'm amazed by that. How do you do that?
I think people who work with domestic violence or other crimes like this or situations are motivated by lots of things. For me, it's doing what I can to work towards justice. And if I can make a change in even one life, that's awesome. It's not just a job for me going to work.
We've been talking to Holly Rosen, the director of MSU Safe Place, about domestic violence and the Safe Place celebrating its 20th anniversary this year. Holly, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.